Welcome back to the podcast, and I am Rillian, also known as Isaac. And today we have Dr. Ransom, also Mr. Stephen Burnett. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I am out of the shadows now. My real name is Stephen Burnett. My real name was not actually Dr. Ellen Ransom, which is too bad because it is an awesome pseudonym.
So basically, you're the equivalent of Iron Man because he doesn't hide his identity. And he just comes out on TV and says,
I am Iron Man.
How did your outlook on life change with the news this week? I'll put it that way.
Outlook on life? Not a whole lot. My outlook remained unchanged, partly because I am still in the rather selfish mindset of, okay, you announced you found a distributor. Now, please, impress me, because I really want the silver chair to be awesome. I would like it to be what it was for the book series, in a sense, a gritty reboot. So I'm thinking, how can you miss that? It was in the original Chronicles of Narnia book series. The Silver Chair, story number 4, was an actual gritty reboot. So now, just do that, you know, stereotypical Hollywood that likes to gritty reboot everything. Just do that to the Silver Chair, and you can't mess it up, right? But I'm still waiting, hopefully.
Yeah, I know Brian and I discussed this, or Glumpel and I discussed this, but when you say reboot, what do you think? Because they kind of throw the word reboot around.
Yes.
What do you think this is going to be in terms of a reboot?
I'm actually a stickler about the term reboot. I use it very loosely here. When a lot of people use it, such as, for example, whoever's behind the Facebook news headlines, they're overusing it. They basically use reboot as a synonym for remake. But if you are redoing a story, then that is a remake, not a reboot. A reboot resets continuity, like Spider-Man. You're not remaking the story, you're actually rebooting the character and the continuity and everything. So I guess when I say gritty reboot, I'm thinking you can follow the same story, the same series of stories here with the Chronicles of Narnia, only a little bit grittier. You know, the last three stories have been very colorful. I'm talking about books here and movies. You know, you can actually compare them. It's very Christian hedonistic. There's a lot of color, a lot of music, a lot of, you know, in Prince Caspian, you have wine flowing and spirits singing and the redemption of everything. And then in the Silver Chair, it's all stripped away. At the beginning of the story, you get to go to Cair Paravel and have a nice feast and sleep in a beautiful bed. And then the owl takes you out into the cold night. And then you wind up in a wigwam on the edges of Narnia and heading out into even worse territory.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think that this is going to be a reboot in the sense that to look at kind of any kind of analogous comparison, The Force Awakens was essentially the same kind of reboot I see this being. It's not really a reboot. It's more of a reset on the theme going forward.
Or a restart, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we're not going to pretend the other movies didn't happen necessarily, but we're going to pretend anything in the movies before that we didn't like might not have happened. So, which is kind of what The Force Awakens did. Like, well, we're not gonna feel like we have to show a flashback with Hayden Christensen, but we won't feel bad about showing a flashback with Harrison Ford.
Right.
You know, like if they were to just put that in there.
And it would be fine. I don't think anybody would freak out. But then again, Narnia fan base is not nearly as big as the Star Wars fan base.
True. My perspective really did change because I think I had gotten to the point, just because I really didn't think the movie was necessarily happening.
Mm.
And the movie could still not happen. It really could. I mean, up till production. I mean, they can, even in production, that would not be unprecedented, but it is a lot more rare for them to cancel a film once it started actual filming. So I think I had just gotten to the point, I don't know. I really was not holding my breath at all. Now I am like holding every other breath. Does that make sense?
It does. I
actually think it might happen now because if the financing is there, it's hard. I would think it would be harder to get the financing than the director. Everyone's saying, well, we still don't have a director. True, but if you have, I mean, really, if you say, well, we have a director, who's financing it? Not really anyone right now. And we have someone, but not really any to any measurable extent of a good enough amount of money. Well, then the director's not gonna wait around for too long.
Right. You'll have a situation like what happened with The Hobbit, where they had a director, not Peter Jackson, Guillermo del Toro, and he ended up moving on because the movie couldn't move on. So he
Right.
couldn't put his entire life on hold.
So it's kind of a moot point of if they say, "Well, we have a director, but there's no financing." And it was kind of interesting because I was looking through. I thought, "Huh, I wonder which movies that I like that TriStar has actually produced."
And
Let's
TriStar
see.
is the division of Sony. It's a Sony company. They're the ones with Fledge on there, which, okay, fan points. You've got a picture of Fledge, the flying horse, right
Yep.
there in the clouds underneath the TriStar logo. I'm looking at it on the Narnia web story.
It still feels so very early, but I don't know. For me, I think this just feels a little bit more official.
A little bit.
And I think that, I mean, certainly it's one thing that's kind of a relief to me, because I think we all know that this film is going to be a lower budget, probably than the others.
Yes.
Certainly more than Prince Caspian, which I think costs the most out of all of them.
It
And
shows
just,
too.
yeah, it does show. And then Voyage Dawn Treader was, of course, the smallest budget. The thing is, unfortunately, and I think everyone kind of knows that the Silverchair would probably lend itself best to a lower budget film. And I think that's easily revealed by the fact that the BBC movies that were done, the Silverchair was easily the best.
Yes,
And I
they
think
managed to do more with the lower budget for
Because
that
it
version.
didn't feel so stretched. It didn't. It felt like you could actually look at the movie, this the old BBC Silver Chair, and say, well, they could refilm this, but actually, a lot of the individual shots and scenes wouldn't look so terribly different.
Well, possibly because it is a little bit easier to make things look bleak and despairing, a little bit more like reality on screen than it is to make
Where
not
do
that
you
my
live again?
reality is not that my reality has been all that despairing, but let's face it, this world doesn't hold a candle to the magic of Narnia. So for a story in which we're no longer in Narnia, yet in the wild lands surrounding Narnia, it's a little bit easier to film for at least a fan's perspective because I completely buy it. I'm not looking at this cliff, this, bleak looking countryside and thinking, well, that is not Narnia. That looks gross. No, it's supposed to be gross because that's the way it is in
Right.
the story.
Well, and it's interesting. What do you think is the next step here? Do you think the next step is to get a director?
I remember when they announced the first film. Was
I'm
it
looking right
2000?
now. Do you remember when the first film came out?
Yes, December 2015, December 9th. No,
No.
2015, 2005. Wow.
Yes,
That was a
2005.
long time ago, folks.
They announced. The press release that Andrew Adamson was going to direct film one, July 30th, 2002. So if we went on the, let's say the film director came out, or would be announced tomorrow, we could be on the same time. If we were on the same time frame,
It's
we
two and a
would be
half
talking
years,
about
three and a half years.
2019.
Yes.
So
So,
it's not a stretch to say 2019 or 2020.
no, we'll get a
I mean, it could
Justice
be
League film
sooner,
sequel before then.
but they had a director then. It's, I guess to me, like, I mean, everyone else is watching the, or just listening to the audio, but I think if I was here before, here's the floor, here's where I was really kind of sitting in terms of Silverchair expectations, just in terms of it being made at all. Now I'm here. So I'll get a little more when I get, a green light for production or at least a director.
Maybe I'm learning my lesson a little bit more, not to get hyped up because it will only mean I have to get used to disappointment. And yet with Narnia, I can't help being more personally invested. These are
Sure.
stories that I grew up with,
Well, I
and the
think,
Silverchair is one of those that I've grown to appreciate even more as I get
and
older.
I'm going to say something that would really offend, say, people over at MuggleNet or whoever, but I think some stories do matter more. Certainly it matters to me, but I think that some stories are just better stories and more significant stories. Let the onslaught on Twitter ensue, but The thing is,
so not all stories matter. Some stories matter than more than others.
But the thing is, I think, yeah, obviously we're more invested in Silverchair, and it will be interesting to see. I thought it was interesting that they just went up and said, boom, here's what it was, E1, TriStar, and the Mark Gordon Company. Sony and E1 Distributing, and it's financed by TriStar, E1, and the Mark Gordon Company.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mark Gordon, there's a familiar name, and of course, Douglas Gresham, who, bless his heart, truly, is still going at it after the last disappointment, which he's conceded in a lot of ways. But just that kind of pioneering optimism is inspiring to me.
I think it is, too. And just so people are clear, TriStar is owned by Sony. So it's not truly four companies, you know, TriStar, E1, Mark Gordon Company, and Sony.
That's
it's
true.
Really more like, really more like three, because TriStar is one of their American subsidiaries. So,
Well, Sony does like to get its name in its movies, but I suppose if it's technically TriStar, that gives the lie to my little joke on Twitter about sonifying Narnia, as in the Spider-Man movies, where there is no other corporation except Oscorp and Sony. I suggested that Sony's logo would be on, you know, Trumpkin's ear trumpet in the first part of the Silver Chair. It would be an ear trumpet manufactured by Sony, you know. So what do we hope in terms of directors, cast members?
I was just going to ask
talked
you
about
what
this
we
before.
Should look
for
going forward from now with this news. You know, I guess I'm looking for director at this point. But I'm really, to a certain extent, the vast majority of fan complaints, which would probably apply to any book series, probably not just Narnia series, has been with the screenplays. Mm-hmm. So we could get an okay director, we could get an unknown director, or Steven Spielberg, let's say Guillermo del Toro. We could get him, and then it wouldn't really change so much of the... Yeah, but what about this screenplay that's already been written? I don't know if they've got several working drafts. I don't know if they've got... I'm sure there is a draft of some kind by now. But, I mean, you look at the drafts that were written early on for The Lord of the Rings. It was a two-film draft. You know, and they were drastically different things. So, from the same screenwriters. So there's a lot of, I mean, to a certain extent, there's only so much that any screenplay that, say, leaked can only make me feel so good or so terrible, you know? Because they do experiment, and I do realize that, and there's all kinds of things that, you know, the Lord of the Rings that they experimented with. Well, let's have Aragorn fight Sauron at the end of the movie. And they actually filmed that for Return of the King. Mm-hmm. And then after fully exploring that and filming that, did they say, you know, we because if initially they said, well, we didn't really understand maybe why Tolkien played things out a certain way. And then they said,
the victory
now we realize
kind.
Why he played things out a certain way, because it took all the emphasis off of Frodo and the Ring. There's no emphasis on Frodo and the Ring that way. So we have to go right back to a much more faithful adaptation. So I get that. So really, I think a lot of it, until I start to see, you know, some more of the storyline coming together or the direction of the story in the film, probably it won't be till like a teaser that I start to really feel optimistic or not optimistic about a film.
Right. Or a promotional art or something like that. Or, I mean, a director announcement would do it for me, too. Now, a good director who's directed similar stories before that were good, that would definitely set my mind at ease. But if it's an unknown who has only directed a few films that are even did marginally all right, I'm still fine with that if the script is solid. And in this case, in theory, why would there have to be drastic changes to the script? After The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in chronology, The Silver Chair is the most filmable book as it is. Mm-hmm. It does not drag in the middle. There are no unorthodox flashback structures like Prince Caspian had. Yeah. There is a cinematic ending. There is a single unifying theme all throughout. There is a smaller cast of characters. There is no need for a great big budget for a bunch of Narnian creatures, because you only see them at the end and at the beginning. the rest of the time, most of your budget goes toward giants. And that's it. Giants and weather for a long time of the script. And then at the end, the only thing I could surmise being changed for a film version is a battle with the witch takes longer. Mm-hmm. It's over very quickly in the book. I'm fine if they extend it to a 10-minute climactic battle. I mean, I don't want Lava Planet like in the final Star Wars prequel length, but right. You can extend that a little bit, and I'm fine with that, so that it's not just spectacle for its own sake. It needs to have meaning, like perhaps Rillian is fighting her as, you know, he's struggling with his enchantment or something. It needs to have a meaning. And
right.
Then Puddle Glum, I had to say that correctly because of our friend Glum Puddle. Puddle Glum is the actual name. I have been corrupted by his reversal of the syllables. Yes, we have.
I'm sure that there's some cast members who are corrupted too.
We have fallen into the Glum Puddle and we cannot get out. Maybe this could one get, could have a lot of meaning. You're setting free the gnomes and everything.
Maybe we could get David Lowery to direct.
Oh, who's he now?
See, case in point. He directed Pete's Dragon, the new one.
Oh, okay. Now, see, that was that. I say
that because I was guessing with his name. Didn't know who he was. But I was saying that because, again, I threw out earlier an unknown director. I was looking at his other films. Pete's Dragon is certainly going to be the biggest film that gets him attention. I haven't even heard of any of these other films he's done, I don't think.
Neither have I.
So it's kind of funny how, like, that little unknown director could turn out maybe a very good film. And Pete's Dragon, I think, is sitting at 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. He's also doing Peter Pan, coming up in 2018. So
that is 2018. That, after seeing Pete's Dragon, that gives me a little hope. It makes me think there are directors out there who would understand this, especially now that some of the internet fandom-driven story structure has kind of set in.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a little finding its own voice back when Narnia was going on. So now maybe more producers, the people who spend the money and invest, are paying more attention to internet fan base and numbers, and they might be able to tell better what type of director to get. In my perfect world, David Lowery would direct one Narnia film and Kenneth Branagh would direct another one.
And Kenneth Branagh would take something like, I don't know, maybe The Last Battle.
Or The Magician's Nephew.
The Magician's Nephew.
Oddly enough, he has actually read an audiobook for. I would take Kenneth Branagh directing The Magician's Nephew. I would pay triple ticket admission for that. And I would pay 5 times usual admission price and 3D, which I hate. I would see that film in 3D with Kenneth Branagh directing if he also starred as Uncle Andrew. This announcement is finances to me, you know. It doesn't say much about what type of story direction they're going to go. They would need to recast. If there's anything rebooty about it,
I think
they would
that.
Need to recast. Right.
And I think that we also, again, that's why for me, like in terms of expectations, it's really going to change. Like I'm starting to think now it might actually happen and it'll all get a little more eager once they get, you know, production starts. But really until I see some kind of, and here's the thing, even in terms of like, a poster or art is that, well, shoot, if they bring on the Weta team really at all, then we're probably going to see good poster art. We're probably going to see good, behind the scenes, set design and stuff like that, because they're a good team. And so we'll probably be pretty happy with that. And it's not like the Silver Chair presents the most difficult, concepts to create. I think they would probably have to go to The Magician's Nephew in terms of what you could screw up or get right.
Mm-hmm,
so, again, I think my expectations are not really going to say, oh, this is going to turn out really well. Or, oh, this is not going to turn out well at all. Until I see some kind of teaser. Because that's the only time you get some kind of direction with the story. And I'm trying to think. I think that even with the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, we didn't get much about story. I mean, the teaser looked kind of weird. Part of it looked okay and cool, and then part of it looked really weird. And then at the same time, we didn't really get more until the trailer in terms of where the story was going to go. So I think that's kind of where I am.
I just realized one thing that I would love to see in a poster for the film. So picture this. You see the edge of the cliff of Aslan's country. From you're looking out over the cliff. It's kind of beneath and spread out behind. Mm-hmm. You see Jill standing there. You see the lion standing there. They're both looking out over the cliff. But then you see it's kind of stylized, of course, because you wouldn't actually see this in the film. But then spread out like far and beneath the cliff, you see the entire land of Narnia, like a map, and with all the clouds over it and everything.
That'd be
and then
cool.
You see the that would be awesome. You'd have the film logo over it, and then you know a pitch, a one line pitch for the film that is a little bit more specific than all that you know is about to change.
Mm-hmm.
But the hashtag for this movie, the hashtag for this movie to make every fan happy would be hashtag follow the signs. That's it. You do that and I'm in.
That would be cool.
That would be awesome. Because it's an imperative. It's mysterious and magical. It's kind of original. It is straight from the book. And it is the exact theme of the story.
And it's memorable, which is what a hashtag needs to be. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. Hashtag marketing, folks. We know all about it.
I can't think of a better way to end the episode on that.
All right. Well, there we go. Hashtag follow the signs. Get on Twitter, folks. Let's make it happen. Let's make a great Silverchair movie happen. Because, not to be anticlimactic, but I've realized that all along we've been kind of passive here. But I was just talking about how more film producers and filmmakers are watching the fans to see what we do. If we're getting out there, making up hashtags, starting up web pages, getting on Narnia Web, other fan sites, and sharing ideas and everything, getting the buzz started, then they'll know even more than before. All right, this is a movie that really needs to happen. So start the buzz. Get it going. Start talking about it. Start talking about your dream cast members. Not that you'll get them, but they'll be listening.
Steven, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, too.
Follow the signs.
Hashtag follow the signs. Hashtag the silver chair. I'm going to go tweet it after we're done.